السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble brothers, sisters and elders, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we are going to experience the end of the month of Rajab. The month of Rajab is a special month because it was chosen by Allah Almighty to be a host to the ascension of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we know as Mi'raj. Alhamdulillah, throughout the Muslim world, many a'imma and many orators nowadays are speaking about this miraculous journey. In 1 or 2 days, we will be entering the month of Sha'ban, and most of the scholars will start to speak about the nisfs of Sha'ban. And once that passes by, then the attention of the entire Muslim world will divert to the month of Ramadan. So I think it is proper that today, in the short time that we have, we touch upon a certain aspect of this miraculous journey known as Mi'raj or known as Isra. I would like to focus upon that junction where Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning after visiting his creator. The hadith of Mishkatul Masabih in the chapter of Mi'raj has captured that moment, that when Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received whatever he had to receive in that Mubarak gathering, in that Mubarak majlis, in the presence of Allah Almighty, he received a few gifts. I was reading the story of Mi'raj in detail, and many scholars have captured this story and have captured what transpired and unfolded at different junctions. And they say that when Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the presence of Allah Almighty, one of the greatest gifts that were bestowed upon him that we do not speak about is the knowledge, the extra knowledge that was given to Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was some special knowledge that was bestowed upon the Nabi of Allah that allowed him to be the person that he was, and allowed him to preach in the manner, in the design, in the fashion that he preached. But for his ummatis that are part and parcel of the Nabi of Allah, because when we look at and study the story of Mi'raj, the Nabi of Allah received tremendously from the divine treasures of Allah Almighty. But if he returned back without a gift for his people, for his ummatis, for his nation, then this trip will not be complete. This miraculous journey will not be satisfactory. And Allah Almighty knew that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a very strong connection with his ummatis. So Allah Almighty, to bestow satisfaction upon the Nabi of Allah, granted a few gifts that has been captured in this narrative that we are going to highlight. So Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "U'tiya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thalathan." Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received three gifts. Now, there were many more gifts, but in this narrative, only three are being pinpointed or highlighted. But he received many, many gifts. So, "U'tiya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thalathan." He received three gifts. U'tiya as-salawatul khams. He received five prayers. Now, we have heard this many a times, but I'm going to take this as-salawatul khams from a different angle, from a different dimension. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced a physical ascension. So, according to the scholars, the theologians, the experts, it is unanimous that Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended body and soul. So it was not a experience in a sleep where he was dreaming, but it was a physical experience where his body and his soul, Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in totality ascended into the heavens. Now this was a great experience. No creation before him and no creation after him has experienced such a miracle. But as I said before, that this miracle in itself should have satisfied the Nabi of Allah if he did not have that strong affiliation with you and me. So Allah Almighty wanted you and me to partially, not completely, not perfectly, but partially experience the same ascension by granting us a gift. And that is as-salawatul khams. That is the five daily prayers. And that's why there are many different narrations that highlight the merit, the importance and the significance of prayer. But one narration that I would like to bring to your attention is As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. That salah is the mi'raj. The exact same words have been used for the salah that have been used for the Nabi of Allah when he took this miraculous journey. That salah is your mi'raj. Indeed, physically, I experience this miraculous episode. But you can experience this miraculous episode in your own style by making sajda five times a day. Or at five different times in 24 hours. As-salatu mi'raj al-mu'min. Now, I want to highlight something, because it's not about attendance. Nowadays, people take salah as a burden. But you never accept a gift as a burden. A gift is taken with pleasure, not as a burden. And many a times, due to our own weaknesses, we look at salah as a burden. Salah in reality is a relief from burden. It's not a burden. It is a relief from burden. When we read the stories of the past prolific personalities, and no one greater than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever they needed to relax, calm down and settle down, they used to turn to their prayer. And many, many years ago, one person, his father passed away. And he said that when I heard the news that my father had passed away, he said, I did not know how to endure that pain. because my father passed away. So he said that a few days ago I was reading a book in which it had been made mention that whenever you experience any level of distress, resort to prayer, and Allah Almighty will give you the spiritual, the physical strength to endure the circumstances. So he said, immediately I knew that my father had passed away. He was in the other room. I made wudu and I prayed 2 rakat nafl. And I said, Ya Allah, I don't know how I'm going to cope with this. You give me the strength to cope with this. And he said, once I concluded my dua, my supplication, I felt that I had extra energy. Allah Almighty guided me. It is a relief from burden. It is not a burden. But what I try to do, and you have seen this for the last few months, what I'm trying to do is just before Salatul Jumu'ah, I'm trying to get my noble brothers and sisters to focus upon one aspect that will allow us to enjoy this salah to be a relief from burden rather than a burden. And that is, just focus upon one aspect before your prayer, that who am I speaking with? Because we go immediately into the prayer and we say Allahu Akbar, and we do not activate that part of our mind that we are conversing with Allah Almighty. And if this remains active in the mind throughout the prayer, you will find that your prayer will be of a different quality. And that's why the scholars have said, and I will stand up to demonstrate it, and keep this in mind, what I'm saying now. Keep this in your mind, lock it, and try to bring it to the front lobe of your mind when you are praying. They say when you are praying, when you look at the ground, the hukam is that you should be looking at the ground in the standing position. The reason behind it is that you're looking at the ground because the ground is going to be your host when you shift from this arena to the next arena. So you're looking at your qabr. So when a person is looking at his qabr in a standing position, it will be very hard for the Satan to inject scruples in the mind where the mind does not stay on focus. Because you're thinking about akhirah, the qabr is in front of you. Many a times when people go to the qabrastan, to the graveyard, they say it is easy for us to remain focused. If somebody right at that moment, he says something that is not conducive to that qabrastan, this person will say, please, not right now, just remain silent. Afterwards, it's easy to remain focused. So when you look at the ground in the standing position, we are looking at the ground that will be our host when our soul is extracted and we find ourselves in the next arena. And that is the qabr. And then when we make ruku and we look at our toes, the ayat should come through our mind. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ Surah Al-Qiyamah, Surah 75, verse 29. And when the leg will be joined with the leg, when a person is shrouded. So as we have seen many a times, when a person is experiencing the death rattle, the last moment of his life, the first body part that gives up, that gives us a hint that jaan ja rahi hai, that life is going, is the feet. The feet will start to drop. And that's why the scholars have said, the first body part that will be deprived of life are your feet. It is from bottom to up. So Allah Almighty says, وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ, when the leg is joined with the leg. And this is a description of that moment that you and me and many that have experienced and many that will experience in time to come. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ, when we are In ruku, we are looking at our feet. Try to visualize that moment when the soul is being extracted. When a person is visualizing and he places himself in that moment, it becomes much easier for him to adorn and beautify his salah with khushu and khudu. That is steadfastness. That is focus. That is attention. And then when we go into sajda, as the Muslim fuqaha, the Muslim jurists have made mention, that we should be looking at our nose. Now, there are many body parts, and each body part is distinct, and it represents something. For example, the forehead represents izzat, dignity, honor. In the old days, I've made mention of this many a times, in the old days, if you are pleading in front of somebody and he does not accept, you take off your turban and you put it in his feet. This means you are giving your respect to him. I've got nothing else, this is my honor and my dignity, accept what I am saying. Make sense? This nose is known for eagle. Ye ana ke liye. Urdu mein kehte hai ki mera naak kat jayega. Mera naak kat jayega. In Hindustan, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, if something happens, they say, look, I'm worried because it will cut my nose. Yeah? If they don't accept my daughter, or if they reject my daughter, or if I become disgraced in the community, they are worried about their nose. They will say, my nose will be cut, meaning that I will have no dignity and honor in the community. So when we are in sajda and we're looking at this nose, the first thing that should come in our mind, we're making sajda in front of Allah. And the time will come that this nose, after the extraction of the soul, will have no significance. This body will turn into dust. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Nothing. But the pinnacle is that when we sit down and I look in my jolly, my pouch, this is my pouch, my sack, my pouch, and I'm looking, shouldn't be looking upwards, shouldn't be. I'm not saying that your salah will be null and void, but you should be looking in your pouch. The reason why we look in the pouch is because we say, Ya Allah, in spite of knowing all this, that my journey has started with the knowledge of it ending. The journey has started with the knowledge of it ending. I am looking at my qabr whilst I am breathing. I am looking at that body part that will be deprived and devoid of life before any other part. I'm looking at my nose, that is the body part that represents my honor, my dignity, my ego. But I know that it is all going to become dust. I should be making such a effort to succeed at these different fronts. But when I look at my pouch, it is empty. Ya Allah, meri joli khali hai. Ya Allah, meri joli khali hai. My pouch is empty. Now when a person establishes prayer with this mindset, when a person will establish prayer with this mindset, with these thoughts roaming in his mind, circling in his mind, you will find that the level of prayer, the quality of that prayer will be very different. But it starts by giving a split moment before entering into prayer by focusing that who are you talking to? Now this is the gift that has been given to us. Now when a person will practice this over time, and he doesn't drop his guard, he remains in this practice, you will find that this salah will become a mi'raj for him. It will become a relief from burden rather than burden. This is the first gift that Allah Almighty gave to us. Second, وَأُعْطِيَ خَوَاتِيم سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةَ. And another thing that was given to Nabi Akrim Sallam directly, indirectly to you and me, are the last two verses of Suratul Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 285 and 286. Aman al-Rasul tufansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma used to say that we cannot imagine a person. So they said, we cannot fathom, we cannot imagine a person sleeping at night, may it be a male or may it be a female, sleeping at night without reciting the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. We cannot imagine this, we cannot fathom this. They are so special. Imam Muslim in Muslim has captured, recorded a hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that once Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was in the Mubarak Majlis of Nabiya Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from above they could hear a certain sound. So Nabiya Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked upwards. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, a certain door has opened that has never opened before. It is the first time it has opened and it will never open again. And from that door, an angel is descending that has never descended before and will never descend again. And he is bringing two lights for you. Glad tidings, he's going to give you two lights. Tumhe do noor dega wo. Khush khabri do nooron ki. So Nabi Akreem says, which two lights is this angel going to bring from that special door that has never opened before? And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Surah Al-Fatiha and the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. He lighted Marilyn. And at the end of this narrative, it has been made mention that those fragments or those ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha and the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah that contain dua. So for example, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Those verses or fragments of these ayat that contain dua, su'al. When a person makes dua through these ayat, those du'as are accepted. That's why it is a nur. And the hadith that is muttafaqun alayh, recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, that al-ayatan fi akhir surat al-Baqarah, man qara'a bihima fi laylatin kafatahu. That there are two ayat at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, the verses that we are discussing, Aman al-Rasul till the end. Man qara'a bihima, whoever recites these two verses, fi laylatin, in the night, kafatahu, unke liye kafi ho jayega, it will suffice them. Now the scholars have studied the word kafatahu. They have tried to understand the exact definition of kafatahu, that it will suffice. Many scholars, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, has made a thorough research upon this, and he has made mention and captured the different understandings of different theologians, and he makes mention that one of them is that if you recite these two last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah before going to sleep, it will suffice against all harm. So if there is any jinnat, hasharatul ardh, insects, scorpions, snakes, so on and so forth, and you recite these last two verses, it will safeguard you. It is a shield from all that can harm you. But another understanding of kafatahu is that all the du'as that should be recited at night, and there are many, many du'as that should be recited at night, as we know, that for some reason, if a person could not recite, a lot of brothers say, and sisters, they say, Imam Sahib, you've told us over so many years to recite all this, and at night we start and we do not know where we stopped and what we recited. We end up waking up in the morning. So we don't know what we have recited. So I say to them, recite the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah before anything. Because the meaning is that if you recite these last two verses, it will suffice for all the other reading. So I'm not saying that after reciting these two verses, try to sleep. No, no, no. Try to recite everything. But for some reason, if a person is, you know, tired, fatigued, you know, he has exerted himself tremendously throughout the day and he can't keep his eyes open, but he recites these last two verses, it will suffice for all the other reading. Just like the verses in Surah Rum. As we know, after Fajr and after Maghrib, there is so much to read. If you read the Masnoon Dua books, there is so much to read after Fajr, and there is so much to read after Fajr and Maghrib. Now, there is a probability that a person did not have time. He was in a rush. So the ulama have said, if he recites the verses of Surah Rum, Surah number 30, verse number 17, 18 and 19. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَيُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ كَفَتَاهُ. It will suffice. These three verses at Fajr and these three verses at Maghrib will suffice for all the reading. So when a person does not have time, he can recite this and it will suffice for the reading that he is habituated to. And Aman al-Rasul till the end, if he recites and he falls asleep, it will make up for the reading that he's habituated to. Kafatahu. So what an amazing gift that has been given to us. That's why it is my humble, from the bottom of my heart, request that all brothers and sisters try to learn these two ayat of by heart. You can use it in your salah. It will suffice as your qira'at. And at the same time, it will give you tremendous benefit in the night. One of the benefits that I missed out upon that may encourage us to learn these two ayat is that if a person recites these two ayat before going to sleep, he will be credited with establishing tahajjud in the night. Now he may wake up for Fajr, doesn't pray tahajjud, but if he recites Aman al-Rasul till the end, on the day of judgment he will find himself amongst those people that have established tahajjud, the nocturnal prayer, the night prayer. And what is the last gift? وَغُفِرَ لِمَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ شَيْئًا. And that person will be forgiven from my ummah who does not associate partners with Allah Almighty. There's a hadith in Muslim reported by Usman ibn Affan, the third Khalifa of Islam, that he says that Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man mata wa huwa ya'lam annahu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." And then there's another hadith very similar to this with a slight variation, and that is in Musnad Abu Ya'la, same narrator Usman ibn Affan, "Man mata wa huwa ya'lam anna Allah haqqun dakhala al-jannah." Translation of both ahadith. First one, whoever dies knowing that there is none worthy of worship but Allah Almighty, دخل الجنة, he will enter Jannah. And the second one, whoever dies knowing that he is true and he exists, he will enter Jannah. So these are great rewards that have been given to us in this beautiful, miraculous journey. And it will be a shame if we do not benefit from this. So first gift, all of you together. What was the first gift? Salawatul Khams, the five daily prayers. I gave you certain instructions pertaining to the prayer. Keep that in mind. Try to implement it. The second gift? The last two verses of Suratul Baqarah. Now keep in mind, I just made mention of the hadith in Muslim that the Nabi of Allah was with Jibreel and he received these verses. He received these verses once and he received these verses again. So the first time he received the last two verses was in Mi'raj. And then he received them on earth again. So he received them twice. This in itself indicates the merit of these two verses. He received it twice. And what is the last one? And that is a person who does not associate partners with Allah Almighty. Allah Rabbul Izzat, allow us to benefit from what has been said. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.